Seems like a lot of beach activities always have something to do with boards.
While action sports like surfing and skateboarding are imports to Laguna, one is a true Laguna original.
Surfboards, skateboards, and now skimboards.
Skimboarding.
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 Skimboarding. Our steep beaches and pounding shore break may have birthed it, but skimming is becoming a global phenomenon.
That's the part that blows my mind, is now it's really taken off and kids all over the world are doing it just to cool off. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm Rachel O'Neill Cusey, and this is From Radical Origins, Visit Laguna Beach's series about our town and the stories that make it a California icon. Episode 3, The Birth of Skim, the story of Laguna's true original. Act 1, Born in Laguna.
The history of skidboarding is, to me, as old as the first guy who skipped a stone on a pond. It's that old.
You heard that right. Skidboarding. And the person you're hearing is Tex Haynes, the guy who is credited with creating the sport.
The next guy found a piece of wood that was a little bit bigger, and he threw it down, maybe stepped on it, and it slid, because that's all it takes. And the Hawaiians, I believe, have a handle on it because of surfing. So once you pass the Hawaiians, you get to World War II. They invented plywood, and that made the creation of skimboards a lot easier, and you started to see them multiply and on the flat beaches. That went on to the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and on into the 50s, actually.
In fact, the first photographic evidence we have of skidboarding in town goes back to the 1920s. Bit by bit, the technology improved and the skidding got smoother.
Laguna, they took those round boards and stretched them out a little bit, just, 25%. So now you had two parallel rails, and that made turning off a wave possible.
It happened in Laguna especially because our geology is almost designed for skimboarding.
Laguna is special, we all know that, but in terms of geography, it's got mountainous slopes that go right down into the water. You find that in Malibu, you don't find that too many other places in Southern California. So our beaches are the result of waves coming right to the shore and breaking on the beach instead of breaking hundreds of yards out like the rest of Southern California usually does.
As a kid, Tex was a witness to these conditions at a notable beach.
My roots with skimboarding start when I was about 11. Of course, you go down the stairs at Victoria Beach and there's this huge beach and there's guys sliding around on wood boards and you just kind of go, oh, okay, this looks like fun. I had a choice between skimming and volleyball. And I knew I couldn't do both. So I chose skimming.
It was a fateful choice. All of the energy Tex would have put into perfecting his jump serve went into sliding across the sand and making skimboards. When he desperately needed work after college, he enlisted the help of a childhood friend.
I came back to Laguna, moved into the family house down here in Alexander Road above Victoria, and started working construction. My parents' roof needed doing. Peter Prado and I did that together. We did his parents' painting of his house and a bunch of other projects. And we ended up working at Rainbow Sandals together after construction projects. So we were at Rainbow Sandals. He's a sander, I'm a strap gluer. It's a huge room filled with 4x8 tables. Every table has as many sandals as you can fit on it, open-faced, ready to be glued. And Zim is going up and down the row with a roller of contact cement. And with that point, kind of thought, well, maybe we should think about those skimboards. That's not a hard thing to do. And we approached our boss about it, Sparky, and he was super cool. He said, you guys can work part-time if you want. I'm okay with that. So we beat it straight up to Costa Mesa for crystal liner fiberglass and the lumberyard for some plywood. And we cut them out and glassed them in Peter's living room in North Laguna on the carpet. You have to appreciate that. Little newspaper, of course. But the guy downstairs came up within about 10 seconds of the resin being poured on the board. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. What's that smell? So that was our first batch. We took those down to Hobie's, and they were happy to take them. So we had part-time work. We just had to figure out a place to work. It was first my parents' garage and then across the street from that. And just sort of slowly progressed. It was really beautiful.
Question, does Tex still do sandal repair? I may have some straps that need gluing. Oh, sorry, back to the story. Tex and Peter had bigger dreams than part-time work. They wanted to ride waves.
wood boards were good for us. They, once we got rocker in them, they performed very well consistently, but they're pretty heavy. They're about 8 pounds. And the obvious benefits of foam are you could make it 30% larger and still have the same weight. It's a lot more expensive. The foam's more expensive than fiberglass and everything else is too. But with 30% more surface area, you were able to go a good 30% further across the water. And our first boards were far worse than our wood boards, just horrible. But we quickly realized one stringer was better and then none. And that really opened up everything because now we were able to make a lot of different shapes, bigger tails, and we were able to get a lot more barrels. Instead of one barrel a session, you were able to get 10 easily, and just sort of exploded. Foam's a beautiful thing.
Soon, Tex and Peter had developed a reputation, but they didn't use their platform to just glorify themselves.
We decided to name it Victoria Skimboards. It was a matter of honoring the people that taught us. It was really kind of a simple conclusion.
In case you didn't notice, skimboarding, a legendary new sport, was born. Act 2, sliding far and wide. With new technology and a new identity, skimming was ready to take off. It just needed a place to showcase the athletes.
First contest was proposed to me by my sister Tay, who was a gymnast. She'd been at Stanford. She'd been a whole part of this Title IX thing, and it was quite a revolution. We started skimboarding, and she came down with her Poindexter head and said, "Well, you have to do a contest." And we went, "Why?" She said, "Because you just do." "Okay, how?" "Well, you score from 1 to 10, just like gymnastics." "Oh, okay, all right. So 2 beach chairs, bunch of clipboards, everyone knows the date. We're just down there at Vic, and we ran it. 3 or 4 divisions by age and women, and it was just classic. It's just a feeling of a need to give back to our customers, to our friends, and just have some fun together. And that's what it is today, I think. It's not too serious, I hope.
He's downplaying it. The Vic remains the top skimboarding event, and the entire world knows it. Greg Viviani, also known as SoLag Local on Instagram, is drawn to the beach not only every year, but every day to capture the best skimboarders in the world.
So the Vic, it's one of the most reputable known skimboarding contests in the world on the planet. I believe it's the longest running. I think it was, we just had the 45th or 46th annual. And it's the proving grounds of skimboarding for that competition.
A proving ground that 3-time world champion Blair Conklin is very familiar with.
It always seems like everyone's dream is to come here and to get to skim in the Vic or to get to skim in just any contest in Laguna, because it's kind of the most prestigious event and brings together the most competitive and best riders in the world. So yeah, it's really awesome to see people from Brazil, Mexico, Japan, Philippines, all descend upon our little shore break spots in South Laguna and give it what it takes to compete here.
People like 4-time world champion Amber Torrealba.
From what I've learned and the inspiration from all these local legends that are here, like Tex and Chris Henderson and just all these people, when we look at skimboarding that when it was playing on ESPN back in the day, and just the different types of like drives that they had to push a sport that was still so small and growing and not many people even knew what it was.
Establishing the contest has helped transform skimboarding from a hobby to a career. While Tex is very modest, it's helped Amber and others come to Laguna to live a very unlikely dream.
And then when I saw the videos of Laguna Beach, I kind of started to just dream of that lifestyle in California and like, how can I get out there? And if this is a real sport, like, how do I get involved? And then I noticed that not many girls were doing it also. And you know, back when I entered my first skimboarding contest, somebody had said to me, like, "Oh my gosh, like, you run fast, like, could be one of the best girls in the world." And I guess I kind of took that to heart, and I practiced like all the time for fun with my friends, and we didn't know what we were doing, but eventually just started entering competitions up and down the East Coast, and kind of had that dream to start coming out to here to California.
Winning the Vic and United Skim Tour multiple times over has brought sponsors and opportunities to Amber and Blair. But at this stage in their careers, it's also about creating content that inspires other people.
After winning the Vic Championships four times, I've really kind of still focused a little bit on competing, but also more so put a lot of my focus back into the community and especially the girls. I've created a brand that kind of helps give back to girls, and with my production company, I'm able to make films that are hopefully inspiring not only just women, but skimboarders in general that kind of have that similar background to me where, you know, you had to find your own path.
So I think the main thing that has really helped, like, keep people in it for me is the videos thing. Like, I think it makes people like feel like they're skimboarding with you, and like it kind of reminds them and gets them excited to go skimboarding. So that's been my way of getting kids stoked on it and sharing it more than just in Laguna, but across the globe.
In fact, content is perhaps the most pertinent factor in the spread around the world. It can almost feel like too much for creators like Greg Viviani, who has been capturing the sport full-time since COVID.
Because of the views on social media, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, there's viral clips. We have lots and lots of viral videos that people from all over the world see. And then in the chat or in the comments, you see people asking either, A, where is that wave? B, what board are they riding? C, what sport is this? Are they surfing? And so we're communicating with them real time in the comments. And sometimes it gets absolutely overwhelming because there's so many people commenting back and forth.
This flurry of online activity is getting new generations of kids to start skimming and strengthening Laguna's love of its original sport. Act 3, Around the World and Back Again. What's remarkable is that far from losing its grip on the sport, skimming's global popularity seems to be strengthening the skim community at home.
Laguna is super unique and is the mecca for skimboarding because of the beaches we have here and because of really like the mountainous coastline.
For athletes and filmmakers like Amber and Greg, a sense of responsibility binds them together.
I respect these athletes 100%. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have any content to film. So it's a two-way street, and we basically, you know, look out for each other to help grow the sport. And I think overall, that's the key here.
Laguna gives me that perspective of, like, here's what you can do with everything. And it allows me to know that, like, I kind of made those right steps, and now I can kind of start focusing on giving back to the community and helping them find those steps and creating camps and ways that we can do clinics for women and helping them feel more comfortable entering the scene. Because once they get started, that's the hardest part. You know, it's like actually getting started and feeling like you can get going and then finding your own path from there. I think that's the key, is just really getting people to get on their own path.
In addition to the noble pursuits of creating a sport, there's also something else that unites skimmers.
You know, there's some aspects of the sport that you can get injured and you can, you know, break bones and get cut by the board and this and that.
This physicality and appreciation for taking risk is something the best skimboarders share in common.
That's our sport's very interesting in that way, because it takes a lot of perseverance to get through those falls and those shinners, the stitches, all this. Like, if you're good at skimboarding, you've had injuries and you've had to persevere and had to get through them. That's also probably what keeps our sport so small and tight-knit and so grassroots, is it's difficult, very, very difficult. And people watch it and see all the really good skimboarders here and who make it look like a piece of cake. That is just not the case.
And an enthusiasm that perhaps only they know.
I love just going down to the beach and stoking out groms. When I see a kid at the beach learning how to skimboard and go up and say hi to him, like, sometimes it can make their day, and hopefully that's a lasting memory for them.
Regardless of the reason, it's a welcoming group and one whose door is always open.
I love all the skimboarders. They're all bros. They're all good people. The girls, the guys, the community, you know, Tex, worldwide, Lucas Fink, you know, they're in Brazil. And there's skimboarders all over the world that we're communicating with and we're speaking to and trying to create content. And if you guys want to be a part of that, come on, start skimming. Have fun. That's the main thing.
While it is a Laguna original, skimboarding truly does belong to the world now. Tex can hardly believe his eyes.
Today, it's all over the world. It's kids in the Philippines. If you're a kid down in Malacca, you can skim better than we can already at age 9 on a wood board. Wow, just amazing. And Japan and Portugal and Spain. And Morgan just was skimming in Africa quite a few times. Chile, of course, Canada. And now we have these guys, Adrian Raza, skimming on every plaza you can think of. The little film of water, I don't care how big the edifice is around him, he's going to throw a skimboard and do a slide, do a kick shove it and run off, or a skim across a canal in Holland, or in front of Westminster Abbey. He just does it everywhere. So he's bringing skimming to all these inland kids who have nothing else to do, and they're realizing, dude, all I need is my pond. I need a wet carpet. I need the sandbar down there. And that's the part that blows my mind, is now it's really taken off and kids all over the world are doing it just to cool off. It's a beautiful thing.
Something we didn't mention is that Tex first grew up playing in the oceans, not of Laguna, but Hawaii, during the era when surfing was being spread around the world by its founding ambassador.
I got to shake Duke Onomoko's hand when I was 14. And I still carry it with me. Just talking about it makes your hair stand on end. And to have that same opportunity to spread a sport all over the world, I just think that's just ridiculous. Super lucky. Can't get any luckier.
What we hope Tex and all of the other skimboarders know is how incredibly lucky we feel to be so close to a sport that strengthens our community and our town. The Birth of Skim is a story from Radical Origins, produced by Visit Laguna Beach in conjunction with Laguna Sound. This episode featured Blair Conklin, Tex Haynes, Amber Torrealba, and Greg Viviani. It was narrated and created by me, Rachel O'Neill Cusey, written and produced by Skylar Vanderveen, John Zegowitz, and Linda Pribble. Special thanks to the Visit Laguna Beach team and board of directors, as well as our friends at Schieffer Chop Shop.